Well, I invite you to open up to James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 to 18 here in just a little while. James chapter 3. What if I told you that you had a ready, free access to a stockpile of treasure that's more valuable than gold and silver? Proverbs 16:16 says this. It says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Oh, I gotta turn on my mic. Thanks, Jack. "To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Well, we've got a stockpile of the treasure of wisdom at our fingertips. And we know, of course, there's fool's gold out there too, but James tells us what true wisdom is and what it's not, and how to get it in our passage for this morning, James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. So let's turn to James 3, 13 to 18 and read it. And I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's Word here from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So as I mentioned in our passage for this morning, James tells us what true wisdom is, this wisdom from above, what it's not, and how to get it. True wisdom is wisdom that comes from above. We read there in verses 13 and then verses 17 through 18. That this true wisdom comes from above. We've already been introduced to God's gifts that come from above back in James chapter 1. If you remember, James chapter 1 verses 16 and following says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Well, one of his good gifts is wisdom. And so now James, you know, I mentioned before that James is structured. I think that it's structured where you've got the first chapter where he introduces eight themes, and then through the rest of the book, he works back through them in reverse order, riffing on these themes that he's introduced. Well, the parallel passage for today's on that structure is that passage that I just read from, James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, that speaks about all the good gifts come down from our Father above, our Heavenly Father, and wisdom is one of these gifts. And so true wisdom comes from above. We read it there in James chapter 3. And not only does it come from above, but in James 3:13, it's described as that it produces works in the meekness of wisdom. So wisdom comes from above, and it's also characterized by meekness. Meekness can here also be translated as humility. I had a professor once that defined meekness as power under control. So it's not the idea of being just this sort of like weak doormat that has no power, but it's power under control in humility. Meekness is this, in fact, a good way of thinking about meekness is that it's a corollary to the fear of the Lord. You know, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And so, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a corollary of the fear of the Lord is then to live before the Lord in humility, in meekness. You think of a picture of a son to his father, a son who wants to Before his good father, the son is loved by the father, before his good father has a filial fear, as Luther termed it. Not a servile fear, afraid of punishment, or as if the father is bad. But because we're in the mercy of the Lord, in the grace of Christ, he's borne our punishment. And God has shown us mercy, and so we tremble before him, not for fear of punishment, which has been absorbed, and not for him being bad, because he's only good, and he's even shown his goodness in removing our sins and punishing them for us and showing us his mercy in Christ. But like a son before his good father trembles to honor and please him, so we have the fear of the Lord. Where he is good, and we desire to honor him and please him, and we see the discrepancy between him and his holiness, and we tremble for the desire to honor and please him like a son to the Father. So we who are sons of God through faith in Christ, and this corollary of the fear of the Lord is meekness, is humility before the Lord, and then as we relate to others in the fear of the Lord, a power under control, serving the interests of the Lord. So it says that wisdom, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. That true wisdom that comes from above is characterized by weakness, meekness is characterized by the fear of the Lord. And we also read here in chapter 3 that wisdom from above also shows itself in good conduct. So you see there in verse 13, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So it's from above. It's characterized by meekness and by the fear of the Lord, and it exhibits in good conduct. And so we see here that wisdom is more than a mere intellectual matter. It's a virtue. And what is a virtue? Well, a virtue is a disposition. It's a disposition to think, act, and feel in certain good ways. And so wisdom is a virtue. It's more than just an intellectual matter. It's a virtue and a matter of skill. When we looked at a matter of skill of living before the Lord for his glory, when we looked back, when we looked at wisdom earlier in James chapter 1, where he tells us to, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. There I used a phrase from Chuck Swindoll, his radio program, Insight for Living. And I think that's a good definition of wisdom, that wisdom is insight for living, insight for godly living. And so it's this virtue in the fear of the Lord of how to live before the Lord for his glory. And it's characterized by meekness and produces good conduct. And this wisdom from above, James describes in verse 17 in a sevenfold way. If you look at verse 17, we'll come back and go through it in more detail in a little bit. But you notice there's seven things that James describes wisdom from above with there in verse 17. And I think that that what James is doing here is an elaboration of the seven pillars of wisdom that Proverbs 9:1 speaks of. So if you want to flip to Proverbs chapter 9, that's the same chapter I just read out of in chapter 9, verse 10, that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you go to the very first verse of chapter 9, it says this. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. Then you think of wisdom building a house. You remember when Jesus said that the wise man who built his house on a rock, he uses this language of building and wisdom. Well, here in Proverbs 9:1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. So seven pillars, that this house of wisdom has seven pillars. Well, it's interesting that here in James chapter 3, verse 17, he lists seven attributes or features of wisdom. And so I think he's alluding here back to the seven pillars of wisdom and giving us this characterization of wisdom, which is more than just merely intellectual. It's a virtue, a skill for living to God's glory, a skill for living well in godliness. It's insight for living, and it comes from above. So it comes from above as the source from God and as a gift of God. as a gift. So then, what it is, we've looked some of what it is. Now, what it's not, James in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 then says, he tells us what it's not, you know, because there's fool's gold out there. There's some that pretend or make a pretension as if they're living in wisdom or as if their way is the way of wisdom. And James says this. He says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. If you think that, you know, pursuing a life of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition is really the way of wisdom, James says, don't boast about that as if it's wisdom. That's actually false to the truth. He goes on and he says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. This is quote unquote wisdom from below. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And there is a way of thinking out there that says, that thinks that it's wise to live as if I myself am the most important thing in the world. To look out for quote unquote number one. To live my life in selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. Strive in ambition to try to get my own as if I'm the most important rather than living for the truly most important one, namely God. And some who pursue that way will tell you, well, I'm being wise. I'm not going to get, you know, miss out on what's coming to me or what I can get. I'm going to pursue bitter jealousy and selfish ambition at odds with others, strife, and all this sort of thing. And James says, this is not true wisdom. Don't pretend that it is. Don't boast as if it is. You're being false to the truth if you do. He says, this isn't wisdom that comes from above. This is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And he goes on in verse 16, he says, where jealousy and selfish ambition, two things that instead of meekness, characterize this fool's gold of wisdom. Selfish ambition and jealousy, the opposite of meekness and the fear of the Lord. He says, where these things are, he says, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So instead of what James has just said in verse 18 is produced by genuine wisdom from above. If you look at verse 18, a harvest of righteousness sown in peace. The false wisdom produces what? A harvest of vile practice, not righteousness, and disorder, not peace. Sown in disorder rather than peace and yielding disorder and vile practice. The opposite of peace and righteousness. So you see these fool's gold and real gold, the real gold of wisdom that comes from above, that's characterized by meekness and the fear of the Lord that produces righteousness and peace and is characterized by these seven pillars of wisdom. And then the pretentious fool's gold that pretends to be wisdom, but is the opposite, is a matter of characterized by jealousy and selfish ambition and produces disorder and vile practice. And then James, so we see what it's not. It's not the earthly, unspiritual, demonic thing that pretends to wisdom. It's the genuine thing that comes from above. And you notice the contrast between the true and false wisdom. True wisdom, the wisdom from above, it has the source of being from above. The false wisdom's source is from being below, unspiritual, demonic, earthly. There's also the difference in dispositions or characters of these two things. The wisdom from above is characterized by meekness. The wisdom from below by selfishness, selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. And then the fruit that's produced. The wisdom from above produces peace and righteousness, and the wisdom from below produces disorder and every vile practice. So you see James is setting in contrast these two, real true wisdom and the thing that boasts at some boast as if it is, but is actually the opposite and is the fool's gold in comparison to the true gold. So he lays out these two different ways, and often in wisdom literature you have this. So if you look at Proverbs chapter or Psalm chapter 1, where he talks about the tree planted by streams of water, and then that way of the fear of the Lord and trusting in the Lord is contrasted with the way of the wicked who don't trust in the Lord. And so here we have James setting two ways, the way of true wisdom and the way of false wisdom before us, and encouraging us to seek and grow in a true wisdom. So how do you get it? Well, we see in the passage that it's from above. So the source is from God Himself. God, who is the giver of all good gifts, who loves to give good gifts, who James has said back in chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask God. In fact, in the next chapter, chapter 4, James says this. We'll look at this more next week. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. James chapter 4, part of verse 2 and following. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So he's encouraging us to ask the Lord, the giver of all good gifts, in the meekness of wisdom. Not to spend it on our own selfish passions and jealousy and selfish ambition, but in meekness ask the Lord, and He delights to give us good gifts. He loves us. And as Jesus says, would a good father, you ask him for an egg, he's going to give you a serpent? How much more your Heavenly Father, who loves to give good things to those who ask? Speaking of Him giving the Holy Spirit to us, the third person of the Trinity. And so you see this contrast. James enjoins us, encourages us to grow in wisdom and to seek it from above, which is where it comes from. So how do you get it? Well, make sure that you're looking to the right place. The Lord comes from above, not from the earthly, unspiritual, demonic, the counterfeit. And then he says, it's from above, and how, so you got to get it from the right place where it comes. And then how? Well, it's received in meekness. James has already spoken about this in James chapter 1. If you recall back in chapter 1, verse 21, James said this. He says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That is the word that's implanted at our conversion. We continue to receive it to grow in holiness. That sense of our souls being healed and saved in the sense of sanctification. We who have been justified, who have been saved in that sense already through faith in Christ, we are to grow in the Word by receiving with meekness the implanted Word. So His Word, which is this treasure trove of wisdom from above, we get it by getting it from Him through His Word that we receive in meekness. Again, in chapter 3 here, He characterizes wisdom with meekness. Show His works in the meekness of wisdom, this humility before the Lord of receiving from Him in faith His good gifts. And so how to get it? Well, it's a gift of grace given and grown by God through faith from above, received in meekness and ongoingly received in meekness as we grow in wisdom, as we grow in this grace of wisdom. And so notice, as I mentioned, the parallel here between James chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, where he says, all good gifts come from above. Verse 18, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth. So at our conversion by the word of truth, and then verse 21, receive ongoingly now with meekness the word that has been implanted in us. His word has come to dwell in us as we've received Christ at conversion. So we have His word dwelling within us, and we continue to receive it. And so we have this how to get it from above that we receive through faith in Christ at conversion, and then grow in as we continue to receive His word that now has its home in our souls. You know, one of the things we see from this work here and looking back at chapter 1 is that our growth in wisdom is something over the long haul. You know, James compares what's produced by wisdom to a crop of righteousness, a harvest of righteousness in verse 18. And harvests grow over time and over the long haul, and they involve tending to. I remember when I hurt my ankle really bad and I had planted this big garden at Katie's grandpa's area. He had this 5 acres and he let me use some land to plant a garden. So it was the second year I did it. I planted this huge garden. Then I hurt my ankle at work, and I was in a cast. I was on crutches and this sort of thing. So I couldn't get out there to do all the weeding and tending to the garden that was required. And what happened is that garden grew up and grew up, and the weeds started choking out the plant. I didn't harvest much of anything. I got a lot of tomatillos because they grow. They're almost like weeds, I guess. It was tall enough to, but that grew up. But most of the stuff didn't grow. It got choked out by these weeds because I couldn't tend to it. Well, this growth in continuing to receive the implanted word, this perseverance that James encourages us in chapter 1, calls us to this long road of perseverance, of receiving the word planted within, for our growth is like tending to a garden. You know, some people start out and then they don't continue as they start. You know, you think of if I mention who's a wise person in the Old Testament, probably most people are going to think Solomon. You know, he asked for wisdom. He started Proverbs. He wrote most of the Proverbs. Solomon knew. He knew that he was to persevere in wisdom, and he was given wisdom by God. He asked for that. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1 or chapter 4, listen to some of Solomon's instruction. He said, "Hear, O sons," this Proverbs 4, 1 and following. "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.' Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a grateful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown." And then, as we read later in chapter 9, he says how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, Solomon started out in wisdom, but do you remember what happened? Is that he forsook, and he knew better. He wrote that Solomon married many women and followed the pagan gods, the false gods, and he ended up veering from the path of wisdom. So he started out strong, but when you think of the character of the Old Testament that you think of as somebody who's wise, you realize that he veered from the path of wisdom. Now, I think that by the end of his life, he repented and returned to the Lord because of how Ecclesiastes ends. I think Solomon is also the author of Ecclesiastes. It fits with how Ecclesiastes is described, the author in chapter 2. So I do think Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. And if you remember at the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, the last two verses, 13 and 14, we read this: "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." I think that by the end of Solomon's life, he had returned. He saw the folly of his way, had repented. But his life still stands as a warning to us of how you can begin in wisdom and then veer from it, that it's an ongoing thing that we're called to continue to receive the implanted word. And Christ is the perfect embodiment of wisdom. So you want to be wise? Learn from Christ. He's the eternal wisdom of God, as Proverbs 8:22 says. He's the Son of God, the Word who became flesh for us in our salvation. Paul says this of Christ in Colossians 2:3. He says that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30. He says that Christ became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ came to save us from the folly and judgment of our sins. And so he became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You want to see somebody who's perfectly wise? You look at Christ. Christ is one who is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. This person became flesh. God, the God-man, we see wisdom perfectly in Christ, who is the incarnate Word. And so wisdom is found and truly begun in being delivered from the folly of sin through faith in Christ and becoming his disciple. And this is the same thing that James is talking about. And James, when he talks about how he addresses the hearers of James as brothers who hold to the faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, James chapter 2, verse 1, who have been converted to him, have come to trust in him, and so have the word of God implanted in us. And James is, in his own way, calling us to this discipleship of Christ, who is the embodiment of God's wisdom. And as I alluded to earlier, Christ taught us that we're to build our lives wisely. And what does that look like? Well, many of you know the children's song about the wise man and the foolish man building their houses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who's, skip down, 24 to 27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And the seven pillars that James, Jesus' half-brother, outlines for us in chapter 3, verse 7, provide for us a good litmus test, a good sort of, take stock and check how we're doing in building our house on Christ and His teaching. So we stand on Christ the solid rock I stand. We stand firm on Christ, unshakably firm, and we have been given wisdom as we have come to Him in conversion. If there's anybody that doesn't know Christ, come to Him to receive His salvation, His redemption, His forgiveness, and His wisdom in your life as you receive Him as Lord and Savior. So you come into this relationship with Christ in which you're forgiven and have begun now on the process of being made more and more wise. And we are called to this lifelong process of growth and wisdom. And we know it's by God's grace. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So this work of God's grace in conforming us to the image of Christ, making us more wise like the seven pillars of wisdom that James outlines for us, is by God's grace. It's from above, and we engage in it by faith as we continue to receive with meekness the implanted word. And so, as I say, in line with doing that, it's helpful to look again at James chapter 3, verse 17. And I want to elaborate a little bit more on each of these pillars. And as I do so, invite you to think about your own life, that your own building on Christ the solid rock. And if you don't know Christ, invite you to come to Him, to come to Him as your solid rock, to cast yourself in faith upon Him. And so find the shelter and the refuge of the rock, and then begin to build from that by God's grace, a building in greater wisdom. And for those of us who know Christ, as we're building our lives, to use James 3:17 as I walk through it as a litmus test, as a time to do a sort of self-inventory. How am I doing in these ways? And then in those ways where we're not, you know, where we notice folly, we notice sin rather than wisdom in our lives as strongly as we would have it, seek the Lord from whom wisdom comes, and with meekness receive the indwelling word. That is, go to his word and to the Lord in prayer, and by his grace seek to apply what his word says to our lives in these areas. So let me walk through Chapter 3, verse 17, I'll read it again and then walk through the descriptions. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And so pure, one of the things that wisdom does is that it regards others from a pure heart. So not as objects of lust or selfish ambition, but there's a purity to wisdom in how we relate to others. Then a peaceableness. So engaging with others from a heart of peace. So as our hearts are at peace and we have that peace in the Lord, engaging with others from a heart of peace and not stirring up anxiety and turmoil and strife or discord with others. There's a peaceableness to wisdom. And a gentleness to wisdom, the third pillar. Being patient and considerate with others rather than harsh and unfair. There's a consideration, a gentleness, a gentle consideration of others as we deal with them. A patience and rather than a harshness or being unfair, this gentle consideration. Think of the wisdom also is open to reason, as the ESV translates it here. That open to reason, being easily persuaded to go along with good sense. So being reasonable, like when something's presented to you as this is the right thing to do, this is truly the reasonable thing to do as God says that it's reasonable. So once we see that, we're easily persuaded by it, and so we submit to it. We go along with it. Rather than being hard-headed and stubborn, we're easily persuaded by what's right and reasonable before the Lord. And so, rather than being stubborn and hard-headed, we're open to reason. Full of mercy and good fruits. So this is this characteristic of having compassion for people and then doing works of compassion that bear fruit. That are themselves a fruit of compassion, and that in their lives have results of benefit to them. So full of mercy and good fruits. So having and tangibly showing compassion toward others rather than indifference or unkindness. So we're compassionate toward others rather than indifferent or unkind to them in their situations. Also then impartial. Wisdom is impartial. It exercises sound and solid judgments rather than wavering with considerations of partiality. It's not this wavering of partiality, but exercises sound and solid judgments. Sincere. This is being without wax. I think I've mentioned this before. Eric Liddell, I remember a sermon or a devotional that he gave about this word for sincere. I don't know Latin. But as I understand, it means without wax in Latin, the word sincere, without wax. And where does that come from? Well, Eric Liddell talked about how back it used to be people would make crafts, you know, like maybe a piece of furniture. And if they made a mistake, they would try to hide it and cover it up with wax. So they would put wax in the imperfection and then, you know, paint over it, gloss over it. But those who made theirs without wax, they weren't trying to hide, you know, they were sincere. What you see is what you get sort of thing. They were being genuine with the product of their work. They would say, put on it sincere, without wax. This piece of furniture hasn't been covered up with wax. So this has to do with sincere being genuine and integrous rather than being insincere or hypocritical. It's the sincerity of wisdom. And so there we look through these seven pillars of wisdom. And as I say, before the Lord, it's a good exercise for each of us to evaluate, because all of us are works in progress. None of us are perfect yet in our development of wisdom. You know, one of the things, by the way, that I'm encouraged by, I look back on my life, and by God's grace, I'm wiser than I was. But I'm also not as wise as I'm going to be, and both of those facts encourage me. It encourages me, and I think you can do the same. If you're in Christ, you look back and think about where you are now and the wisdom God has grown in you, and know that, you know what? It gets better than this in terms of wisdom too. We're gonna be wiser, and this is from above, and God, as we receive with meekness His word, does His work by His grace in our lives. So it's encouraging knowing that He has worked in us and will continue to work in us. And one of the ways that that He works in us is through this passage, James 3:17, as we then reflect on our lives and seek to apply James 3:17 to our lives in the meekness of receiving His word. And as we do this, you know, reflecting on our lives, let's remember that our Heavenly Father, who gives us all these good gifts, come from Him, including wisdom. He loves us so much and loves to make us wiser. Even more than if you think of your kid, if you have a kid, how you want your kid to grow in wisdom, how you love them and you want them to grow in wisdom, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us and want us to grow in wisdom and has given us the treasure trove of wisdom in His Word and has given us His Son to make us wise unto salvation and then grow in wisdom. He's given us the Savior. And so we have our Heavenly Father who loves us so much, wants to make us wiser, has given us His Word and has given us His Son to save us and grow us in wisdom. And we can see, those of us who are in Christ, His work in our lives already and anticipate He's going to do more. He's going to finish what He started. Philippians 2:6 or 1:6 again. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. As we look at a passage like this and we see, okay, I don't measure up perfectly to this, but I can also see evidence of God's grace in my life and know that He loves me and wants me to grow me in these things, and He will finish what He started. And I stand secure in Christ, justified, and He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion as He makes me more and more like my Savior. There's great encouragement in that. And God is graciously at work in us, and we will grow in wisdom as we recognize our sin, remember Christ died for it, repent of it, and receive with meekness the wisdom from above, which we have a treasure trove of in His Word. Or, and I'll close with this, or another way to put it is what James says in our passage for next week. Let us ask God, knowing, James chapter 4, look at verse 6 and then down through verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 6 down through 10. But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. As we receive His Word in meekness, He will be building us in wisdom. He who began a good work in us, who has founded us on the rock of His Son, who He sent to be our Savior, will complete what He's begun. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We want to be wiser. We want to grow to be more and more like Christ. We know that wisdom is for our good and Your glory, and we thank You for the instruction You've given us here in James. We thank You that it's a gift from above, that it's by Your grace, and that You are working it in us as we trust in You and as we receive this implanted Word. We thank You for sending Your Son and for sending Your Spirit into our hearts to empower us to grow in wisdom, and pray, Father, that in our lives we would become wiser and You would be glorified as we receive in meekness Your implanted Word, this gift from above, and veer from and reject any of the false gold that's out there seeking this treasure of gold and silver, greater than gold and silver, that is this wisdom that You delight to give us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.